Hello and welcome back to An Abundance of Not. It is May the 27th. I am Garrett and this is Brad and Wade.
Hello. Hello.
We wish everyone a belated happy Memorial Day. Hopefully everyone had a long and comfortable weekend.
That would be nice.
That would be nice? Or that yes. was nice?
Hopefully that
no,
was.
No, that would be nice that everybody had a long and comfortable weekend.
Okay.
Agreed.
Yes.
Ha! Huh.
What?
And what about you? I know you had a long one, at least.
Yes, I had Friday off, which gave me a nice long four-day weekend. Last week, I talked about the kid making a decision to get rats. We picked up a couple on Thursday night. They happened to be litter mates, which is good for us. Friday, let's see, took her to school. I worked on getting the cage all situated because they are a little young and small at the moment and can fit through the bars of the cage if left unmanaged. So
well, that's
care
interesting.
That. Yeah. So I put wire mesh all around the cage, took care of that. And we went and saw Tomorrowland. So we'll talk about that
you
later.
You did, so.
Yeah, you didn't. You had to work late.
Unfortunately, Susan Compl...
What?
Wow, a little buzz there. Some complications at work.
Yeah, so you can talk about that in a second.
No, not complications.
Yeah,
complications.
I know. Welcome to the real world, I guess.
Saturday, yep. We ran around some errands. Nothing too special there. Sunday...
It was a stay-at-the-home day and relax.
Yeah. Sunday was a very lazy stay-at-home day. Monday... We tried to find something to do. We checked local cities and everything. We tried to be mindful of expense while also not just going somewhere to go there, like to actually have a purpose, and failed miserably. So ran a couple small errands and had another lazy day. So it's all fine and good. And that was my long weekend. Wade, your weekend filled with work complications. Ready,
my
go.
My weekend, not so long. Yep, and, like, we went back in, I was called, was that Friday?
Sure.
Yeah, it was Friday. I was called in early for work. So I was basically called in around, got there around 7, I should say 7, and then didn't leave till roughly 5:30.
Nice.
That's a long day for a union worker.
Yeah.
But that, it's all good.
But that paired with... I think time and a half for Memorial Day. I should be looking at a little nice kind of paycheck there.
There you go.
Little bump
up. Yeah, him having to work late Friday made it impossible for him to make the movie.
Yeah.
So he missed out.
I love that I walked up to the manager and I was like, can I go home now? And she looks at me, like, looks at her phone and goes, well, you still have some time. I'm like, I've been here since 7 in the morning. She's like, that face is like, what are you doing?
Yeah. Most people would just leave after their 8 hours. That's not the correct course of action.
Well,
but at the same time, you owe it to yourself to not get screwed over by the company you work for either.
The other manager who did not, you know, take it upon her job to ask if I'd like to stay overtime.
Just assumed you were there to work.
Just blew me off.
So,
usually that'd be a good thing.
Talk to me some more about not getting screwed by your company.
Yeah, I wasn't talking about you or me. I was talking about him since he's hourly and union.
Got it.
Yeah.
We are salary and therefore slaves. It's funny how many similar letters are in those two words.
So you're just waiting for Danny to come by and just be like, Dracarys, is that what's going on?
That'd be nice, yeah. That'd be fantastic. When you are salary for our... Not so working listeners. Hours do not apply anymore. You make a set value a year, no more overtime. If you have to work a Saturday, you're expected to do so. If you have to work 10-hour days to get the job done, you're expected to do so.
Just the way it goes.
And that's the way the cookie crumbles.
I'll stay hourly. Thank you.
If you can, I advise it. Although,
yeah.
Someone
Some
like me.
Places don't give you a choice.
Yeah. Someone like me, though, my responsibilities don't really constitute being salary. No one reports to me. I'm not a manager. And that's usually the role that should be salary.
Hmm.
I was under the impression that was going to get revisited Which I may have to bring that back up with my immediate manager, because my role isn't necessarily a salaried position, so to speak, even though I was told it was, but that's just to take advantage.
Yep, but then, what, Saturday, just a lot of running errands. Like, what did we do? Like, I don't think we did, like,
we checked out that new park up the street.
Yeah.
City of Lake Forest, where we live. Recently, actually, past couple of years, they've been building a big sports park. They've taken money that they've earned through taxes and whatnot, and instead of having to forego it over to the state, they reinvested it in this big park, which they did a really nice job on. It's got two full synthetic or artificial turf soccer fields that are beautiful.
Don't they have, like, three regular turf, just grass?
Yeah, they have two or three that are, like, standard grass fields. They've got five baseball diamonds. Just a really, really well set up park. They got a community center with an indoor basketball court. It's just really, really nice. So that was part of Saturday.
That was really nice. Bathrooms could use work, but yeah.
Yeah, it was on a weekend day where they don't have anybody walking around, so you're bound to run into issues.
Well, we had an interesting weekend.
You did. Tell us all about your very interesting weekend.
Very interesting weekend. So we took a road trip. We took advantage of the long weekend, the family and I, my wonderful wife and our two kids, Thing A and Thing 1.
okay.
We took a drive down to St. Louis, spent the weekend down there. We did not visit the Arch. We've been there, done that, got the photos and whatnot. So we took in the sights of the zoo. We went to a pizza/slash arcade restaurant, spent a couple hours there.
So like Chuck City. E. Cheese then?
Kind of like, yeah. Like a more older version of Chuck E. Cheese, like a teenage version.
So like Dave and Buster's then?
Not quite that old. Look, I had to cut my oldest off after his third beer, okay?
Third root beer.
Yeah. City Garden, which is awesome. It's about a two-block stretch in downtown St. Louis that is a artwork sculpture garden that you can climb on. They have water fountains. There's a pond that you're allowed to wade in. They encourage you to climb on the sculptures.
Sweet.
But you're allowed to do what in?
Wade in.
Was that? Wade. Yes, Wade. We went back to City Museum, which we have been to before. If any of our listeners are going to be in the St. Louis area, definitely check out City Museum. Your kids will love it. When you drive up, it looks like a junkyard.
Nice.
There's airplanes and a bus and... they're building what looks like castle fortifications outside. And then inside there's I don't know that it's a one-to-one scale, but a giant whale that you can climb in. And there's a concrete forest and caves and tunnels. There are no maps. They tell you, go get lost. Go have fun.
So basically by the time you get down to this place, you're thinking you should turn back because you've taken the wrong turn.
Yeah, the first photo that I ever saw of it, my wife and kids have been there before, and I'm like, what are you doing playing at a construction site? do they know you're there? But no, it's a lot of fun.
The cement mixer is not a toy.
Exactly. But no, it's a lot of fun. Definitely check it out. We visited the old St. Louis courthouse, the botanical gardens. While we're at the zoo, we got to pet stingrays, which I was a little nervous about. Stingrays and Australians don't get along very well. but yeah, we had a packed weekend.
Yeah, the stingray things can be a little nervous. We've got the Aquarium of the Pacific about give or take an hour north of us. And they've got a few pools that you can interact with some of the animals. And yeah, the first time you're like, okay, I don't want to get stung and like get carted off. But after that time, you realize you're not going to die by sticking your hand in the water. All is good.
Yeah. My favorite part about it, though, was they had some small sharks in there, bamboo sharks.
They
I forget what some of the small ones are, but yeah, I remember that too.
I forget what the other species was. They looked like miniature hammerheads. They were not, but they looked like little hammerheads.
I mean, I don't know if that's a technical species, but you got the ones that kind of have a pointed nose, but they're still sharks. Is it skates? Scape? Something like that, where it's kind of that mix between shark and stingray.
Got no idea.
No clue.
I got nothing. No, awesome. But you said you guys have been up there a couple of times. This is what, your third family visit up there, or? To St. Louis,
I mean, not. Third, fourth?
Yeah.
Very cool. I know I've worked down here a couple of times, and they've tagged along. We've been here a couple of times just for fun.
It's all becoming a blur of just how he travels.
Yeah, that's normal.
Pretty much. Nice.
So, yep, busy, busy weekend. It was a lot of fun.
Very good. And then, will you travel back to the job site Monday, or was Tuesday a travel day for you?
Tuesday was a travel day.
So you got another short week.
I do. Although it is a multi-city week for me. So we drove home from St. Louis Monday. And then I turned around and drove back to St. Louis Tuesday. Worked there Tuesday afternoon, Wednesday, and flew out this morning, Wednesday morning, to North Carolina. And I'm in town for some meetings. Had some meetings this afternoon and tomorrow, and then home Friday.
Cool.
Whirlwind.
Just enough to get pizza and a movie.
That's it. Well, very good. Well, let's jump into some movies. See, I actually got the sound clips ready this time, unlike last week.
Professionalism.
Nice.
So this week we've got four to talk about, although I think only two are going to be fairly major releases. Number one, San Andreas, 47%, rated PG-13. This is with Dwayne The Rock Johnson and Paul Giamatti. If you haven't seen the trailers, all you need to know is that it's about an earthquake that hits the West Coast. And that's all the synopsis that Rotten Tomatoes has for this movie, too.
I don't really have any kind of interest in seeing it. It's like, I guess I've been seeing it. It's like, oh, so this is how New Yorkers feel when their city gets destroyed in every single movie.
In every single movie, yeah. It could be interesting how they portray it. I mean, us being in California, we always fear that the next big earthquake that, you know, is always seemingly around the corner. With the San Andreas Fault, most people that may not be from here don't realize is that the fault is actually bent. So it can lock up and build up a lot of tension. And then when it does eventually shift and slide, it releases all that energy and could be potentially catastrophic. So that's kind of always looming over our head here.
And then California becomes a island.
California. Yay. Island Mark One.
I'm looking forward to it.
Now an exotic location.
Yeah, exactly.
Number two in the release, this is Aloha, rated PG-13. No critic rating at this point. This is with Bradley Cooper, Emma Stone, Rachel McAdams, and Bill Murray. A defense worker who teams up with a pilot to stop a satellite launch. And this movie is a romantic comedy between Bradley Cooper and Emma Stone. So, for the ladies out there, enjoy. Number three, again, I think this one might be a limited release. This is Survivor, 0% on Rotten Tomatoes, rated PG-13. This is with Mila Jovovich, Emma Thompson, and Pierce Brosnan. After being mysteriously framed for a terrorist bombing, a foreign service officer must evade government capture and death by a ruthless assassin in order to stop the real perpetrator's master, and much deadlier plan. Slightly intriguing. It's got kind of a Taken vibe to the synopsis for me, but could be interesting.
He has a unique skill set.
Sure.
Taken? No.
I got what you were saying. I'm just not sure how well it applies to this movie. I haven't seen any trailers for it at all, so totally blind on that one.
Partly why there's a 0%.
Yeah.
They're probably like, no, you can't see this, and it's probably going to be horrible.
Potentially.
And I have been wrong, so hold that with a grain of salt.
Well, sometimes when they're not available for rating or it's a 0% rating is because they haven't done any screenings. And usually when there's no heads up on the rating, they kind of know it may not be awesome. And they just don't want to advertise that it's not awesome.
That's what I was getting
at. Yeah. It's pretty popular. Pretty common action.
It may be good. So just, you know, skepticism.
There you go. And number four in the list, again, believed to be a limited release. This is Barely Lethal, rated 13%, PG-13, with our very own Sophie Turner, Game of Thrones, Sam L. Jackson, and Jessica Alba. Megan Walsh is a teenage special ops agent who yearns for normal adolescence. After faking her own death, she assumes the role of an exchange student and quickly learns that surviving the treacherous waters of typical American high school can be even more difficult than international espionage.
Yawn.
Yawn. I kind of feel the same way. This is kind of sounds like a teen-oriented movie.
Look how hard it is in high school.
Even though I'd love for Sophie to be successful, and Jessica Alba is in this, so you know I might just sneak into the theater just for glimpses of her, but that's about it.
Yep.
Not afraid to admit it.
I believe you just did.
I did.
You did it.
Words have not been coming easy to me tonight.
Wow.
For those who don't know, this is our dubstep episode.
Right? As previously mentioned,
I would like to apologize to our listeners. Garrett does not English well.
That's correct. And I'm sober, which is scary.
Yes, it is.
As mentioned earlier, I did go see Tomorrowland with the kid. A very interesting movie. The trailers are a little bit deceptive from a plot standpoint. I will say that the amount that you see Tomorrowland in the movie is pretty minimal, at least in the way that you're expecting.
I like deceptive trailers. I want it to be a surprise.
Yeah, no, and it very from a storyline, it very much was. I'm reluctant to give too much away here because there was kind of a twist and some interesting concepts portrayed in the movie, mainly in that subliminal warnings may be ignored, and I'll just stop there. I did really enjoy it, though. It was really well done. Hugh Laurie is in this, if you missed that in the trailers, House MD. Mm-hmm. Sadly, he does play maybe not your favorite character, and that might be because he's British and how British actors are sometimes written into movies. But I enjoyed it, and I recommend it to families.
Stereotypes?
Just a little bit, maybe.
Ah, jeez.
But I don't want to give so much away. So I won't.
Stuff happens.
I enjoyed it. Definitely a good family movie. Kids will enjoy it. Go see it. There.
Movie starts. Things happen. Movie ends.
You walk out with a smile on your face.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Or you're contemplating the aspects of the movie that they just put into your brain.
Woohoo!
Which is, I always enjoy. If ever I come out of a theater thinking, not to try to make the movie make sense, but on the topics that they presented, I have a much better time. And I did with this.
Is it as far as the Matrix theory going on now?
No.
You don't know what I mean, right?
I'm not sure. The whole concept of...
Before the Matrix, no one really thought it, like we could be living in a virtual reality. And then after the Matrix, people were like, oh, God.
Is this real?
Sometimes I still wonder.
Yeah, it's
this
like...
This is true.
You know, how they say... Oh, I just had deja vu. Oh, that's them loading or changing something. It's like... That was never an issue until that movie came out.
I love those movies. Came out.
That was...
Ah, Matrix 1 was great. They did kind of degrade. I enjoyed the whole series, but number 1 was definitely the best.
Yeah, see, I'll disagree with you there. While we're in the movie section, I thought 1 was good. I thought 2 was the best.
It gave the rise of the whole
three very much
leaning back thing.
Well, 3 pulled so far out of the whole concept of the Matrix.
Yes.
And was focusing on
the war.
The war and the pseudo present timeline of the movie. whereas 1 and 2 still focused on the digital
digital
world.
Yes.
So, but I'll agree with you on that.
One was good. It definitely set the pace. I enjoyed 2 for the choreography.
Two had that really bad CG fight scene with the bazillion agents and Keanu, where it was so poorly CG'd. It was so, I was just disappointed in that when those movies, at least the second one,
sure,
with that CG. But aside from that, the rest
from the storyline aspect though. You know, the first one, he's still learning. The third one is completely way out of it. But the second one, he knows what he can do. He's got his skills pretty much perfected, and he is just kicking butt.
Yes.
Did you see there? I kept it family friendly.
You did. Bravo. I agree with those statements.
Anyway.
Very good.
Slight digression there.
That is true. And with that, I think we can do the news.
So in the news, some interesting new cool tech coming out. LG Electronics has shown off a prototype of the next generation wall mount screen. And by wall mount, I mean small enough and light enough to stick to the wall with magnets.
This is so cool.
Isn't it, though? 55-inch, what they're calling a wallpaper TV. It's using OLED, which is organic light-emitting diodes, where each individual pixel is individually lit rather than a backlight behind the entire panel. Clearer picture, wider viewing angle than regular LCD. It's really cool. 55 inches, it weighs 1.9 kilograms and is less than 1 millimeter thick.
How does it get its power and its connections?
That's a good question. I'm going to guess micro USB.
I mean, at least that spot's going to be a little bit bigger than 1 millimeter. Yeah, I mean, I've been saying for a while that it's only a matter of time until TV is more or less something you can just paint on your wall and plug in a few connection points and you're done. And this pretty much does that without the mess of painting.
Pretty much. This is following on the heels from July of last year, where LG showed off a prototype of an 18-inch TV screen that you can roll up.
Nice.
It's only 720p. Well, it's 1280 by 800, but so effectively 720p. But seriously, you could roll it into a roll 3 centimeters in diameter. Or sorry, 3 centimeters in radius.
This, I mean, I'm looking at a picture now. They've got this rolling up, but definitely not that tight.
Sure.
But you can essentially roll this up a little bit. From a transportation standpoint, which is cool. Okay, I mean, let's think about this, though. It's a TV that you can roll up.
I could put this in one of those shipping tubes.
It might not be able to roll it up that tight, but pretty close, too.
Okay, so I get a big one.
But either way, yes. I mean, imagine the benefits for this for, like, trade shows.
Yeah.
You know, where all these booths, our company has a booth where they've got multiple TVs. Well, now you've just got... You're upright with the magnet, and you just slap your TV on it. I wonder if there's a connection within the magnet that's where it gets its power and whatnot from.
I don't know.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
World's new wallpaper TV. Pretty wicked.
I'm excited. I like new tech. I like cool new tech.
This begs the question, though. I mean, this is all fine and good, but with the VR world coming up, are TVs still going to be a thing?
I think that's a good question. And I think, my opinion, that they will be. VR is about immersion, but it's also very personal. Right? I'm not sharing my VR world with everybody. It's just me. I put the headset on, I disappear into my own little world. I think there is still going to be a market for shared experiences. You've mentioned before how Sunday night is Game of Thrones night in your house.
Very much so.
Yep.
Are the three of you going to sit on the sofa, each with their own individual headset, and kind of disappear into your own world for an hour? Or is the impression I got from you was part of the enjoyment was the shared experience?
I don't know. I would like to be in a Game of Thrones thing as first person view and just be like, oh, yes, that was really good. And then Daenerys turns to you and go, what do you think? And then you have choices.
Choose your own adventure, Game of Thrones. No, we would get the HoloLens where we could all watch it and also interact with each other. For us, definitely, we have events where and shows that we watch as a family. However, and it's all speculation with the HoloLens and the VR and the augmented reality as to how much that is going to take over. Or will it? Will it be a fad that after a while we're done with? Will it be
3D TV, anyone?
Yeah. Yeah. Nudge, nudge.
Do you remember those?
Yeah, we never bought one.
No, neither
did I. 3D movies gave me a headache. I didn't need to have it in my house.
Yeah. There's a reason for that, actually.
Of why it gives you a headache?
Yes.
I'm sure there is.
Uh-huh. When you're looking at something in real life that is naturally 3D, right? We view the world in 3D.
Yes, because our eyes and our perception.
Binocular.
Yes.
So when you look at an object, there's two things in your brain and in your eye that help you see. You have a focus point and a convergence point.
Yes.
And in normal everyday life, they are the same point. When you're focusing on something, your eyes are converging on that same point.
Correct.
When you're viewing a artificially forced 3D image from a movie, let me see if I can get this the right way around. You are
looking at
your
two
eyes
separate
are converging.
Items.
Is that the right way? I believe that's the right way. Your eyes are converging on the screen, but you're focusing on the image, which is being virtually projected a certain distance in front of the screen.
Yeah, but it's duplicated so that when your eyes pick up the two aspects, it tricks your brain into seeing depth.
Yes, but your eyes are still trying to... Your brain is essentially having to alternate between the fact that your eyes are seeing the screen and then having to focus on the image in front of it.
Yeah.
Oh, dear God.
And it's
exactly.
Too much.
That's why people... I don't get it so bad, but I know people who can't watch 3D stuff because they get, like, motion sickness.
Absolutely.
It's definitely not awesome for the visual cortex.
No, it confuses the heck out of your brain. Yeah, I'm not a fan. That was a fad. I'm willing to think that this one may not be. Obviously, we're looking at prototypes here. It's not that we're looking at a finished shipping product. This was announced. Hey, go down to your local, electronics store.
I'm not so sure prototype is accurate for most of them. I might say pre-production, because we do know that some are going to be available by holiday season 2015.
Fair,
but. There are some that I would agree are prototype, but the whole genre itself is past the prototype. Can we do this? Is this ready for consumers?
We may see some at E3 next month.
I'm sure you'll see pre-production models at E3.
Because even though it's mostly about games, it's the electronic entertainment. Can't really do entertainment without a screen.
I agree.
No kidding.
Until we all just decide to go headset VR, AR things.
I don't think it'll
ever
Bradley
happen. Doesn't want to do. And I think
step will be implants.
And every time you got to upgrade, you got to go under the knife.
Yeah.
I got a new patch.
It's firmware upgradable. The NSA can't hack in. Trust us.
Trust us. It's perfectly safe.
Wink, wink.
What's that new driver you're putting in, and why does it only have 3 gigabytes less than what is effort? What is this?
Could you imagine having to upgrade the drivers on your eyes?
Oh, I've gone blind. I can't see. Quick, update, update.
Too much gamma.
Just the contrast.
I think there will continue to be a market for this, though. Again, like I said, the shared experience. And let's face it, it's cool to have a giant panel on your wall. I think so. You know, maybe that's a tech thing. A tech guy thing. Or a tech person thing. But I like having a big screen.
Well, then I agree with that, you know, how awesome it is of how small it is. But, you know, when I'm thinking magnets, I'm thinking, you know, something can easily take off and put back on. But with the TV, that's usually I'm putting the TV there and leaving it there.
True.
Until you move or you want to upgrade from a 55 to a 65 or... Mm-hmm.
Or I think this will make an entire market of burglars very happy.
Yeah.
That's a very valid point.
Bob, they got the magnet one. All right, yes. Awesome. We'll get the roller one. I forget what it was called.
The shipping tube. We'll be in and out 5 minutes, no problem.
You know what? It was really nice of them. We should leave a note. Dear homeowner.
Thank you for making your
TV easy to remove.
Because that's the thing now. I mean, actual TVs, you can put locks on your wall mounts for security purposes. Yeah. How are you going to do that with something that's magnetic to the wall?
That's got to be a set lock mode, really strong magnet.
Initiate electromagnet.
Yep.
There you go.
Well, speaking of VR, Sony was, actually was, but announced that they have formed a studio solely for the VR headset Morpheus, which is Sony's headset. So, I mean, they are looking for people who want jobs in the industry. But speaking of that, is they're putting a lot of money behind this, power behind this.
Investors.
So is this a publishing studio? They're looking for other games to republish? Or is this an actual development studio? They're going to make their own studio games.
This is Northwest Studios, a game development house developing exclusive VR games.
And that's cool. Make sure everyone heard that. Developer, not publisher. Game creator, not broadcaster.
So you're not going to have Call of Duty or, the other popular titles. This is going to be their own dedicated content, which is, I think that's a good move. Make this compelling.
Unless Sony buys the rights.
Sony
could always buy the rights to Call of Duty and have a Sony Call of Duty VR game.
Sure.
Or they could make their own.
Who has the license now? Since it's licensed out to like Infinity Ward and Treyarch.
And there's a third one now, I think.
Sledgehammer Games, but I'm not sure who actually holds the licensing.
Our interns are checking. Carry on with your article and they'll get back to you.
And by the way, the comment I made about Game of Thrones and the headsets and Daenerys, asking what, your opinion is. That's patent pending, by the way.
We now own that concept, so feel free to buy it off of us.
Yeah.
Looks like Call of Duty is still Activision.
Activision still holds it, so. I guess they could, depending on.
What's that, Brad?
I said I was close. I said EA.
Sure.
Yeah, I guess it's, who wants to pay the most money?
Well, but this makes sense. We've said we hate it, but we understand from the business standpoint, it's exclusives that make or break a console or a platform.
Typically, right? Yes.
I mean,
Halo for Xbox.
Think of it pragmatically. What's the benefit Xbox versus PlayStation 4? There isn't one.
Technically speaking, correct.
They're equivalent output, equivalent frame rate, equivalent capacity, equivalent, not exact, but equivalent.
Sure.
So what draws you to one or the other? Well, for me, it's going to be Xbox One. Why? Because I want to play Halo.
Yes. Yes, you do.
So I think this is a smart move for Sony. If they can create some very compelling content, and if they can, that you can only get on their headset, they're going to go a long way.
Yep. If they can sit back and produce exclusive VR titles, then yeah, they're going to go a long way. But also a major problem is that, well, not a major one, but I think Microsoft already has kind of a little lead with Minecraft in their pocket.
Yeah, but that we were talking about this. Say that?
I said that was a brilliant buy.
It was a brilliant buy, but we've talked about this casually yesterday about... This is last night. That ever since it seems like Microsoft bought Minecraft, it seemed like it kind of fell by the wayside a little bit. The community that followed Minecraft kind of got a little quiet as of late. And one can only wonder, is that because of Microsoft, or have the community just kind of moved on a little bit?
I got to thinking about that a little more after we talked about it. And I think Microsoft purchasing Minecraft, and we've gotten a little off topic here. But
yes, we have.
Let's run with it.
It's
video games. It's electronics.
It's Oculus Rift. It's VR. And, well, Minecraft, wow, has agreed to be on the Oculus Rift. So, whatever.
Yeah. So, I think there's a little bit of Microsoft poisoning it here because there was certainly a following for the fact that it was independent. You know, Mojang has been an underdog story.
Yes.
And now it's not. It's one of the major studios. We don't care. That being said, though, I think for a lot of us older gamers, we got bored, we moved on. My kids certainly still play Minecraft a lot.
They play it
on Xbox.
For us, is that we have, you know, mod after mod to play through.
Sure.
You know, and new mods are being made, well, I want to say all the time, but on a decent basis.
And as much of a benefit that can be, it's also a very serious drawback as we're facing today. Because there's no support and no fixes for when third-party software breaks.
Yep. You know that API we were going to get from Mojang?
Nope.
What? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That was a thing.
That was a thing for a little while.
It was promised, and they failed.
Moving on.
VR saying Sony's got their...
And Sony's putting a big investment behind their...
Creating VR an entire company focused on...
Their VR headset project, Morpheus.
Good for them.
Very good.
That's what I said.
Yep.
Brad, back to you.
Back to me. Well, we're starting to see a little bit of fallout from the NSA. We've covered some of that before.
Starting? We've already been seeing it.
That is very true.
Legal.
The latest round coming from Russia, getting nervous over how much the American operating systems, how big their market share is, the mobile phone operating systems. So they are beginning a program to replace iOS and Android in Russia. A Russian company created around some former employees of Nokia have begun creating their own operating system. Let's see if I can find the name of it here. Do Sailfish.
Interesting.
Yes. At the moment, it only has 0.5% of the Russian market, which is below Windows Mobile and BlackBerry. And if you've got less than BlackBerry, wow.
It's not looking so great for you.
You're at the bottom of the totem pole, everyone.
Yeah.
However, their desire to get rid of American influence may help give this local homegrown operating system a boost.
So does this sound like Russian government's going to be helping to either fund or push non-US OSs into the ground?
That would be my guess, and we know how honest and above board the Russian government is, so I'm sure there will be no spying software of their own in this.
Sure. Oh,
yeah. Welcome to the revival of the KGB. We're not...
Exactly.
We're not recording your phones.
But regardless of what they end up doing, it's still the point remains that there is a building economic backlash.
That's, I mean, yeah, I'm trying to think of a better way to express it and agree with that, but we've seen the American populace in a steady decline out of fear for what our government's doing, and now we're seeing it overseas, so.
In some good news, though, as we go to air, Congress is in recess. One of the last things that they debated prior to their recess was the renewal of the Patriot Act, Section 215. In a spectacular bumbling on their part, there was a reform bill, the USA Freedom Act, that is supposed to put reins on the Section 215 component. It is very poorly written. It doesn't go far enough. It's better than nothing, but it's not great, and essentially reauthorizes Section 215 with some limitations. That was voted down in the Senate, which is a good thing, and in the process, they also forgot to renew the original one.
Okay.
So, the NSA is currently in the process of winding down their telephone surveillance program because they are anticipating losing authorization for it. Authorization expires at midnight in between May 31st and June 1st.
Nice.
So, the Senate is coming back from recess on the 31st and has called an emergency session to discuss the Patriot Act, Section 215, to try and get it renewed. Hopefully they will fail and it will all just expire.
That's hilarious.
Yes.
They put all their eggs in one basket, it didn't pan out, and now they're... Oops.
Don't!
That's funny.
So, good news for the people. Although, as we've discussed before, even if it gets deauthorized, we also have a court case that rules it unconstitutional. Do any of us really believe they're going to stop?
I mean, no.
Nope.
Really believe it?
Nope.
Just naively hopeful.
It's on paper. Well, it must be true, right? It's on the internet, right?
The government made it illegal. What do you mean the government's still doing it? They can't do that. They said they wouldn't. They promised.
They pinky swore.
Very, very interesting.
Yes.
Wade.
And for my last piece this time, a mass of cheaters and botters were banned from the Massly Online Zombie Survival Game H1Z1.
That was a mouthful.
Yeah.
That was.
And I think I forgot multiplayer in there, too.
you want to start over?
I'm good, thanks.
Okay.
As long as people know where I'm getting
at. Good choice.
And while the... The publisher lead? Either the publisher-developer lead, John Smidley, spoke out on Twitter that to the... Well, cheaters that... wish to get back in the game. We have been receiving, emails, apologizing and admitting to it. However, if you want to get back into the game, you must offer a public apology on YouTube.
This is hilarious to me.
I agree.
for all the right reasons, though. Like, I think it's brilliant the studio is doing this. They're forcing people to be accountable. I just wonder how many people are going to follow their lead.
As from what I saw when the story broke, three people.
Three people have made a public apology.
Which then someone is going to get rebanned because after the public apology, he made it private.
Oops.
He made it public enough to get back in and then went private.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think this is awesome.
I think it's
one
great.
Of the problems with trolling and everything has been the anonymity. And oh, yeah. I don't think we need to destroy the anonymity. But there are so many of these jerks that hide behind the anonymousness. The fact that it's all screen names and it's all fake and they think they can do whatever they want. And I think this is awesome. Put your face out there. You were a jerk.
Mm-hmm.
Now apologize.
That's right.
You know, this is like when your mom used to drag you back by your ear.
Through
now
the
you
store.
Apologize.
And
or like the ones where you see the parents force their kids to hold up signs on the street corner admitting to their
wrongdoing
behavior. Yeah. No, I think this is great. More studios need to do this.
I think this could be a good lesson for not just game studios, but people in general.
But to me now, I would be more inclined to play a game like H1Z1 knowing that the studio A is banning people for bad behavior. They're not just letting people get away with it. And if people want back in, they have to admit and go public with it and have to face potentially the scrutiny that, hey, you got caught and you regretted your decision enough to want back into the game by doing a public apology.
And even this is that I think could be a decent solution to even cyberbullying.
I mean, it's true if you can catch the right person and you have enough weight to provoke them to do this. That's the big thing with this. The player has to want to get back into the game so much so that they're willing to publicly apologize for their actions. If they don't care that much about the game, then it won't matter.
Mm-hmm.
But at least the studio is saying, hey, you misbehaved. We're willing to let you back in if.
But.
Yeah.
But you must make a public. I mean, this is just the perfect move for it. And I applaud whoever thought this up.
I think it's brilliant.
I agree.
I mean, just we've always heard the rampant hacking and cheating in games such as H1Z1. I think there was even some in Grand Theft Auto 5 and, you know, games alike. It's just really nice to be able to, you know, you're getting some kind of closure out of it. You know, sure, it may not be the same guy who killed you multiple times just for the laughs, but at least you're getting like, okay, you know, some of these people are getting their just desserts.
Exactly.
Well, while we're on the subject of people being forced to apologize and behave better.
Oh, God, what did I do this time?
The FCC's net neutrality rules. This has nothing to do with you. Well, it does, but not like that.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah. The new net neutrality rules don't go into effect officially until June 12. However, they're already starting to take effect in terms of companies' behavior. Now, if you remember the discussion before the FCC handed down their ruling, the poor old internet companies were just crying about how these rules were going to be so horrible and it would just stifle all business and they would go collapse and the world would be sucked into a black hole.
You mean like how the Walkman destroyed the music industry?
Right, exactly.
How video killed the radio star?
What you did there? I saw that.
You like that?
I did like that. Well done, sir.
Thank you. That was actually all from Wade's lead, though, because I probably wouldn't have got there without with his segue. So, bravo, Wade.
Two points, Wade.
Yes. Thank you.
So, with all that background, level 3, which is a backbone internet provider, it's the internet provider for internet providers, has been accusing Verizon or other ISPs like Verizon of letting the connection points between the ISPs get congested so that they could raise revenue by charging the other companies to upgrade the connection points. Now, we covered this last year with Netflix and Comcast.
Yes.
Comcast had to pay for, or sorry, Netflix had to pay Comcast to put in better connections. Well, Level 3 has been able to quickly, or sorry, Level 3 and Cogent have hinted that they would be more than happy to use the FCC's new complaint process to file grievances about this anti-competitive behavior. All of a sudden, Verizon has been very quick to respond whenever they've needed to up interconnects. AT&T has also managed to strike a new deal with Level 3. And Comcast, old lethargic pain in the ass Comcast, has been turning ports on.
Didn't say good faithful, but faithful.
They've been turning ports on for capacity quickly when needed. Comcast, along just like AT&T and Verizon, have suddenly announced a new interconnect deal with Level 3 that Comcast says it was delighted to sign.
Of course they were. Jerks. So wish this was an explicit podcast right now, because
I know. Just
wow.
This is the way it was supposed to be, right?
Yes, this is the way Europe does it.
This is the way it's supposed to be. Netflix, or sorry, Cogent and AT&T and Level 3 and Verizon aren't supposed to be charging each other, because all the traffic that Cogent sends to Verizon, Verizon sends traffic back to Cogent. And it's supposed to be, give or take, at the end of the day, a zero-sum game.
Yeah. At the end of the day, it should be a wash. Roughly.
Or close to it.
Yeah.
Plus the fact that when it is not, such as in Netflix's case, guess what, Comcast? Your subscriber is paying you for access to Netflix. Suck it up. This is your job.
Yeah. And it's not, yeah, it's not like you're getting a, you know, giving people a free pass. You are being paid.
You want to charge Netflix? Stop charging your customers.
Yeah.
You are being paid to carry this data. Stop trying to double dip. So we still don't know the final outcome of the net neutrality rules. AT&T is trying to make a First Amendment case against the new net neutrality rules. They have filed a lawsuit with the courts saying that the FCC's reclassification violates... Well, let me back up a bit. Remember, we covered previously that companies now have the rights,
constitutional
of
rights.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
thank you, Hobby Lobby.
Yes. So AT&T is claiming a violation of their First Amendment rights, that is freedom of speech, in that as a carrier conveying data, they have a right to express their speech in carrying or not carrying data and editing as they see fit. This is their speech. And that their users do not have the right to expect unedited traffic.
So would that be, I'm playing into it, but let's say the founders and executives at AT&T are Muslim per se.
Sure.
Let's just, for the sake of having
fun
with it.
For the sake of argument.
If they have approval that they have indeed First Amendment rights and constitutional rights, and they therefore have freedom of speech to only let you see the content they feel you should get to see, they could force you to only go to Muslim-related sites or block all other religious sites or whatever.
So atheists, Christians, Buddhists, Hinduists.
You could search Jesus on Google, but if you have AT&T, a page would come up and say you do not have
there is
authorization
no
to view this content or something.
404, God not found.
Zing!
That was funny.
Well played, sir.
I'm sorry if that offended somebody, but I mean, for the sake of argument and for the sake of expressing more or less the severity of the situation, realizing we are going to an extreme, but what's being expressed here would allow for that extreme.
I'm sorry, the door was open and I just walked right through it.
I don't know. I haven't read the filing in its entirety, so I can't speak to exactly what they're trying, but that sounds about like the absurdity of their argument.
Yeah. I mean, we're saying this potential, we're saying this is fictitious, but we're saying this is the path that these companies are on.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you think this didn't matter to you, it matters to you.
The sad thing about this is AT&T's filing actually parallels the 2012 Verizon filing that got us into this mess in the first place.
Brilliant.
Verizon challenged the original net neutrality rules, which is why we're going through all this. And their Verizon's argument was that the net neutrality rules that were then in place, the 2010 Open Internet Order, infringes, this is a quote, infringes broadband network owners' constitutional rights. It violates the First Amendment by stripping them of control over the transmission of speech on their networks. The company contended that, quote, broadband networks are the modern-day microphone by which their owners engage in First Amendment speech. So your First Amendment speech by having a website on the internet, too bad. It's the ISP's First Amendment speech that matters.
Yeah, you got to strip away the layers a little bit here and realize who's really speaking, who are they speaking about, and what are they trying to say. And in this case, like you said, it's the internet service provider. It is AT&T. It is Verizon. It is Google.
Cox, Comcast,
et cetera, et cetera, on the content they feel or they wish for you to see or don't see. They are advocating for the right to be able to dictate that to you.
They want to be able to editorialize.
Yes.
As they awesome. See fit. Very dangerous.
So
let's hope it gets defeated this time.
Anything our viewers can do to help, petitions to sign, contacting officials.
I will try and have some more information for next week. The pressing issue right now, if you're in the United States and if you're listening to this before May 31st, 2015, get in touch with your congressperson regarding the renewal of Patriot Act, Section 215. We do not want it renewed. This is what the NSA has been using, or partially what they have been using as partial authorization for their domestic spying program. This needs to die. We will revisit the net neutrality argument next week. There are some legislations making their way through the process as we speak to overturn the FCC's decision to strip them of the authority to regulate the internet. Regulation is not the ideal thing, but that was kind of the only option we had. So I will try and come up with a better compiled list of actions that are currently going on and what you can do to help protect the internet. In the meantime, I would definitely recommend taking a visit to our good friends at the Electronic Frontier Foundation, EFF.org.
I don't agree with them 100% on everything that they do, but they are definitely a good resource for this kind of issue, things that are affecting the internet and your freedoms. They are all about trying to protect your electronic freedom, since their name. So definitely check them out, EFF.org. And stay aware of what's going on. There are things that get snuck in. These people have their finger fairly well on the pulse and are a great resource to try and keep track of what's going on in Washington that can affect your freedom.
There you go. It's supposed to be the land of the free unless the corporations have their say. And with that, that about wraps us up. We do encourage you to get in touch with us on Facebook or Twitter, facebook.com/abundance.not or Twitter at abundance.not. We are always watching and always looking to interact with new faces.
Or YouTube, in case you have any comments or concerns.
We're doing gaming videos on YouTube, also video versions of the podcast for easy access to listening. Main channel is YouTube. Just search Abundance Not. You'll find us. And there will be a link there to Wade's channel as well. With that, again, thanks for listening. Thanks for hanging around. And we'll catch you next week.
Keep on gaming.
That's a wrap.